أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته
وعليكم السلام
First of all, I would like to thank the hosts for doing this, putting all the effort to gather everybody here on a blessed day of Friday to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to also celebrate their farewell. I believe they are relocating to another place and let us also take a few moments to just remember them in our du'as. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this transition easy for them and may He open all the doors of barakah and success and wealth and happiness for them and their families in their journey going forward, inshallah. Can everyone hear me clearly? Yes? Okay, great. So our topic today is, I was given the topic of live this life for the akhirah. And it's a pretty deep topic. We only have, I believe, an hour to cover this topic, which can take years to understand. So I don't know how I will summarize it. But inshallah, it is a very near and dear topic to me. And I think what we'll talk about today, inshallah, will resonate for you with you. And you can reflect on it as you go forward, inshallah. So live this life for the akhirah. So just a few questions. So what is akhirah and what is the opposite of akhirah in the Quran? Who can tell me? Good. Dunya, akhirah, right? So if you want to understand what is black, you need to understand what is white. And so opposite, sometimes by knowing the opposite meaning, you can understand the meaning of its opposite as well. So dunya and akhirah, this is really the distinguishing aspect we want to talk about. And in Surah Al-A'la, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala concludes this beautiful surah with the ayat, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى وَذَكَرَ اسْمَ رَبِّهِ فَصَلَّى بَلْ تُؤْثِرُونَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ وَأَبْقَى إِنَّ هَذَا لَفِي الصُّحُفِ الْأُولَى صُحُفِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَمُوسَى So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in these concluding ayat that verily the one who purifies himself has indeed succeeded. And the one who remembers the name of his Lord and prays. Yes. Those who prefer the life. He actually makes a question. بَلْ تُؤْثِرُونَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ وَأَبْقَى Are you favoring this life of dunya while akhirah is much better for you and everlasting. خَيْرٌ وَأَبْقَى means much better for you and أَبْقَى means everlasting. So he's asking a question. He's asking us all to think deeply. What are we favoring more in our lives, in our hearts? Are we favoring this حَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا, this low life? We'll talk about in a second what it means. Whereas Allah's hinting to us that akhirah is much, much, much better for you. How can you favor this hayat al-dunya? And then Allah says in the concluding ayah, He says, إِنَّ هَذَا لَفِي الصُّحُفِ الْأُولَى صُحُفِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَمُوسَى This lesson here about the reality of life and dunya versus akhirah and the fact that akhirah is more important than dunya, this lesson has been taught in all the previous scriptures. إِنَّ هَذَا لَفِي الصُّحُفِ الْأُولَى This lesson is the gist of all the previous messages. صُحُفِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَمُوسَى From Ibrahim alayhi salam all the way down to Musa alayhi salam, all the books, all the messages, all the scriptures are trying to change this mindset in the human being's life. This change of preferring akhirah over dunya. Okay, so that's really what we're trying to inshallah talk about today. So let's dive really deep into it. First of all, let's put things into perspective. How many lives do we have? Anyone else? How many lives do we have? Two, so I hear one, I hear two, what else? Any more? Three, someone's saying three, very good. We'll keep going on and on. Maybe four, who knows? So let's look at really the reality of life. So before we came into this world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran that He made a conversation with us. There was a conversation that happened between us and Him when we were in our soul forms. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked us, أَلَسْتُ بِرَبِّكُمْ? Am I not your Lord? And we all responded by saying, بَلَى شَهِدْنَا. Indeed, Ya Allah, we bear witness. And so that was one life that we had. It is the life, before we came into this world, it was a life, you can say, of the soul form. We were in some soul form, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gathered all the human beings who are going to be created till the end of time. And He asked all of us this question, am I not your Lord? And we agreed. So we agreed to the role that Allah is the Rabb and we are the who? When Allah is the Rabb, who are we? The slaves or the Abd. Okay, so we already signed on this contract before we came into this world. And then we have the second life you have is the life of this dunya. This short life, from the moment the ruh is blown into you, who knows on which day the ruh is blown into us?
4 months and 10 days,
yes. 4 months and 10 days since, from the moment your mother got pregnant, on the 4th month after 10 days, so that's about how many days total? 130 days, yes, if my math is correct, okay. 130 days, congratulations, you are about to come into this life, and then you're born and we celebrate birthdays, but maybe we should think about celebrating the day that the ruh was blown into you, yes? So maybe we should change that trend. And then of course what's one of the realities of life? That it comes to an end, yes? And what do we call that ending? Death, yes? كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ. And you know, it's really strange because, subhanAllah, just the last 2 weeks, there's 3 deaths in my circle. The first death was my uncle's death, may Allah have mercy on him. Then one of my very close friends died. So my uncle was 88, my friend was 42. Now I just gave away my age to you, yeah? And then also, our neighbor died also, like last week. So subhanAllah, 3 deaths in just a period of 2 weeks. It was a very powerful reminder. But this is a reality of life that even non-Muslims believe in, right? Every human being believes that they will one day die. What happens after death? Some people have no clue. But we, because we have the haqq, we have the truth, we have the Qur'an, we have the teachings of our Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and the Qur'an, what do we know that happens after death? Does life end? No, there's a third life. Okay, so the third life we call barzakh. It's the life between this world, this dunya, and some kind of temporary station. Okay, which they call it also the life of the grave. And then you have, is that it? That's it? No, there's another life that comes after that. That's the life of the Day of Judgment. And Allah tells us that for some people, this day will be equivalent to 50,000 years. 50,000 years. So that in itself is a life of its own. Okay. Is that it? No. And then some people, they will spend a life or a part of their lives in the hellfire. And then eventually, inshallah, there will be the end life, or where there is no ending after that. That is the life of the paradise. So technically speaking, we have more than one life, more than two lives. We have about 6 lives, yes? But the 6th life is eternal. After that, inshallah, you can party all you want, inshallah. Okay? So why did I mention this slide right from the beginning? Because we're talking about dunya versus akhirah, right? Allah is telling us to place akhirah of more importance than dunya. Yet we human beings give dunya so much more preference. But when you see the perspective of dunya compared to akhirah, which one is obviously more important? Akhirah, right? I mean, akhirah is... This dunya is how many years maximum? Maximum 100... I don't know, what's the median age? 83, 86? Even if you're 100, you know, that's it. It's maximum, you can have 100 years and that's it. But the other life, and akhirah, by the way, one of its meanings is the other life. Al-akhirah means the other. It also means the end life. Some translations mention afterlife, the life after this world, the life after death. So let's ask a question. What is the right choice? You have three choices, A, B, and C. Hands up for those of you who think choice A is the right kind of lifestyle choice for you. Hands up if you think A is the right. Okay, alhamdulillah. We don't have many dunya people here. What about B and C? Now, this is where it's going to get tricky. How many of you think B is the right choice? Okay, so about 40% think B is the right choice. What about C? Akhira. Whoa, minority. Okay, minority thinks it's... And there's some people who are undecided. It means they're confused. And I know why you're confused. And actually, this was a trick question. Now, which choice is the right choice? Yes? A, B, or C? With A, dunya is in your heart. With akhirah, with B, dunya and akhirah in your heart. And with C, akhirah is in your heart, but dunya is in your hands.
I think B.
What do you think? B is the best choice? Okay. Right. So, anyone for C? How many of you for C? Okay, so... One of the things that life had taught me and my study of the Quran has taught me is that Allah tells us in the Quran that He has only given us one heart. We all have two eyes, two ears, two hands, two feet. But how many hearts? One heart. And actually, these three hearts are actually the journey of a human being. So maybe, you know, you were born on the fitrah, but then life happens and you become so indulged and engrossed in dunya. And then what happens is, slowly, slowly you start awakening. And when you awaken, you start realizing that, wait, akhirah needs to also be a part of my life. And so your heart gets filled with also a bit of akhirah. And so you have dunya and akhirah spaghetti in your heart. Okay? And it gets very confusing because sometimes dunya takes over. Sometimes akhirah in Ramadan, akhirah is like more important. But then on Eid, dunya becomes important. You go to Umrah, akhirah is more important. Come back, dunya becomes more important, right? During exams, akhirah becomes more important because you're making a lot of du'as. When you're getting married, akhirah becomes more important. And so, it's like this roller coaster between dunya and akhirah. But the lesson I've learned, my dear brothers and sisters, is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants our entire heart for Himself. And that is really the meaning of La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. The statement that we make when we become Muslim. What does La ilaha illallah mean? One of its meanings is that there is no God worthy of worship. And ilah actually means the one who you love also. From Eliha Ya'lahu min al Walah. In Arabic, the word Walah is an extreme form of love. And so there is no true God worthy of your love except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so again, I'm not expecting all of us to have this magic switch where your heart becomes filled with Allah and then dunya is in your hand. But what I try to display to you is the journey that we all need to go through. So yes, for many of us, dunya and akhirah is in our hearts. But we shouldn't be settled with that. And you know, I heard the ayah, رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. We'll explain what that really means. Okay, that actually does not mean that dunya and akhirah need to be in your heart. It has a different meaning which will become clear as we go along. Okay, but the ideal balance would be to have akhirah in your heart and dunya in your hands. Okay, and we'll explain some of the misconceptions about this idea also. So what does dunya mean? In Arabic, dunya comes from the root word dunu, which means something very low. Okay, now do you aim low in life or do you aim high? High. We all want to achieve high and great heights and achievements and growth in our life. We don't want to be low. Dunya also means a life that lets you down. How many times have you been let down in this world? Many times, right? By people, by friends, by society, by situations and circumstances. Things just don't go your way, right? And that's the nature of this life. It's meant to be deceptive. It will let you down. So guess what? If you put this dunya in your heart, you're going to have a lot of heart ups and downs. What do you call that when you have ups and downs in your heart? Is that a stable lifestyle or a very, very turbulent lifestyle? What do you think? When you have dunya in your heart and life takes you up and down, up and down, up and down, what will happen to your state? Will you be stable and at peace, or will you have a lot of ups and downs in your life? What do you think? A lot of ups and downs, yes? Maybe heart problems and blood pressure, that's what causes that. A lot of stress. Because dunya is in your heart. And that's one of the dangers of having a little bit of dunya in your heart. Another word for dunya is that it comes from this earth, it's low. And as you know, we have been made from two parts. There's the physical aspect of us, the body, which is made of clay. And then what is the spiritual aspect of us? The ruh or the nafs, yes? This is something that's unseen. And do we have to take care of both or just one or the other? What do you think? You have to take care of both, yes? Now, the one who is attached to this dunya, all they take care of is their body. All they think about is food. All they think about is how to satisfy their bodily desires and temptations. All they think about is what kind of clothes they're going to wear, what kind of shoes they wear, their handbag, their abaya, and all sorts of social constructs around that. Dunya also is something that disgraces you. When you're disgraced, you fall. And so the one who is attached to dunya will be disgraced. Because dunya is not something that lifts you up. It will always bring you down. It will always bring you down to shame. Allah also calls this dunya temporary or mata'. Mata' in the Arabic language is referred to luggage that a traveler carries with them. Now, is this luggage temporary or permanent? Temporary. You use it for your travel and then khalas, you get rid of it. Similarly, this life is temporary. Allah even calls this life, He gives the example of life or dunya to zar' or greenery or plants. Because do plants live forever? No, it starts with a seed, it grows into a nice plant with flowers, and eventually what happens? It turns yellow and dies. Yes? That is really the nature of this world. Allah also calls this dunya la'ibun wa lahu. For the people who have been deceived by this life, they simply think of this world as an opportunity to entertain yourself and to play. Now, does this mean that playing FIFA on PS5 is haram? Is this what it means? No. What we're saying is it's okay to play and have amusement and entertainment. But did Allah create you for this? No, He created you for a higher purpose. He created you for Akhirah. But it's okay every now and then to have a little bit of fun in the halal way. Okay, so we need to understand how to balance. And then Allah also calls this haya mata'ul ghurur. It is a deception. It is a delusion. It distracts you. There's a lot of weapons of mass distraction nowadays, yes, to distract you from the reality of your life. That's why human beings need to be reminded over and over and over and over again. Why? Because Shaitan and his soldiers are there to distract you. Social media today is there to distract you. Everything around you is there to distract you, and so you need that dhikr constantly. And of course, lastly, dunya also is referred to in the Quran as zina, which means what? Beautiful and attractive. And zina is referred to in the Arabic language to decoration. You know when you have a party and you put decoration on? Does that decoration stay forever? When women put makeup on, does that makeup stay forever? No. Okay, so similarly this life, yes, it's beautiful, but it is temporary. So these are some of the meanings of dunya. Let's move on. Some of the ayat of the Quran which talk about this idea of you're either going to want dunya or akhirah. Allah says in Surah Al-Imran, "Minkum man yuridu ad-dunya wa minkum man yuridu al-akhirah." Some of you, there are some among you who want dunya, and there are some among you who want akhirah. Notice, there's no in between. It's very, very important to note how Allah talks about dunya and akhirah in the Quran. It's either you want dunya or you want akhirah. There's no in between. And then in Surah Al-Shu'ara, مَنْ كَانَ يُرِيدُ حَرْثَ الْآخِرَةِ Whoever wants the fruits of akhirah, نَزِدْ لَهُ فِي حَرْثِهِ We will increase him in that. And on the contrast, وَمَنْ كَانَ يُرِيدُ حَرْثَ الدُّنْيَا Whoever wants just the fruits of this dunya, نُؤْتِهِ مِنْهَا We will give him from that. However, وَمَا لَهُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنْ نَصِيبٍ In the akhirah, they will have no credit for that. So you see how Allah, like this is the power of the Quran. Sometimes we have certain ideas about, yeah, I can have dunya and akhirah in my heart, but Allah is clearly making a distinction that it's either you are going after dunya or you're going after akhirah. Just a little bit of dunya in your heart is a trap. Okay, so we all need to have that vision to one day, inshallah, be purified from dunya and to have only akhirah in our heart and dunya in our hands. In another surah, Surah Hud, ayah number 15 and 16. Again, Allah says, مَنْ كَانَ يُرِيدُ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا Whoever wants this hayat al-dunya. يُرِيدُ in the Arabic language means that you want, you seek it. You are pursuing it with all your intention, your actions. You are striving towards it. So he says, مَنْ كَانَ يُرِيدُ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا Whoever wants this dunya, whoever is seeking this hayat al-dunya, وَزِينَتَهَا and its beauties, نُوَفِّ إِلَيْهِمْ أَعْمَالَهُمْ فِيهَا وَهُمْ فِيهَا لَا يُبْخَسُونَ We will give them what they want. They'll get what they want. But then look at the next ayah. It's a very scary statement. أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ لَيْسَ لَهُمْ فِي الْآخِرَةِ إِلَّا النَّارِ Those same people who strived only for dunya, they will have nothing but the hellfire in the akhirah. وَحَبِطَ مَا صَنَعُوا And everything they did will come to waste. وَبَاطِلٌ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ And everything will be false. It will all be falsehood. So the people who are only living for dunya, they are completely blinded from akhirah. For them, it's just a temporary time. In akhirah, they will be disappointed. They will come to realize. And let me share with you one of the meanings of qiyamah actually. يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ What does Qiyamah mean? Yalla guys, you need to speak to give me a break so I can recover. What does Qiyamah mean? The day of standing, very good. Qama yaquma means to stand. What else? Day of standing, day of judgment. Let me give you another beautiful meaning. When someone wakes up from their sleep, they also call this yaqumu, to wake up. So in a way, the day of judgment will be the day of waking up. For many people who were asleep in life, meaning all they were running after was dunya, they will wake up to see the reality of their life in akhirah. So that is also one of the meanings of Yawm al-Qiyamah. And look at this, and my dear brothers and sisters, why, I know I'm going into a lot of ayat, but it's important because the Qur'an is our guide. And Qur'an will put things into perspective in the right way, because this is haqq. Allah is telling us here that in Surah Al-Baqarah, there are some people, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ اشْتَرَوُوا الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا بِالْآخِرَةِ There are some people who will purchase, who will buy dunya in exchange for what? Akhirah. That means they'll sell akhirah and they will buy dunya. فَلَا يُخَفَّفُ عَنْهُمُ الْعَذَابُ وَلَا هُمْ يُنصَرُونَ These people, the punishment and the suffering for them will never be decreased and they will never be victorious. Because they made the wrong trade. So what are we noticing again in this ayah? That it's either this or that. We are asked, the Qur'an is asking us to make a trade. Trade dunya for akhirah. And does every trade come at a cost? The problem with us Muslims today is we're not willing to pay the cost. We're not willing to pay the price for akhirah. That's why we want both. We're trying to negotiate and compromise with Allah. You know, the kuffar of Quraysh, they actually tried this strategy on the Prophet ﷺ. When they saw that his message was becoming so powerful and so influential, people started, you know, believing in him, and the Quraysh were like, you know what, let's try to sell him a little bit of dunya. This man has too much akhirah in his heart. He's preaching too much akhirah stuff. Let's try to give him a little bit of dunya. So they went to him and he said, "O Muhammad ﷺ," we say it, they don't. Yeah. They offered him, they said, "If you want, we will give you all the wealth of Arabia. Is that what you want? How about this? If you don't want wealth, fine, we will make you king of Arabia." They will give him status and power. And then they said, "If that's not what you want, then we will give you the most beautiful women to marry." And what did he say? We all know this. We've all read Seerah and we know this. What did he say? He said that if you give me the sun in one hand and the moon in another hand, I will never leave this deen. And that's where Surah Al-Kafirun was revealed. قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ لَا أَعْبُدُ مَا تَعْبُدُونَ. O you who disbelieve, my lifestyle is not like your lifestyle. وَلَا أَنْتُمْ عَابِدُونَ مَا أَعْبُدُ. And your lifestyle is not like my lifestyle. لَكُمْ دِينُكُمْ. At the end, لَكُمْ دِينُكُمْ وَلِيَ دِينَ. You have a way of life, and I have a different way of life. And our life is the life of akhirah. It's an akhirah-centered lifestyle. That is the teachings of the Prophet ﷺ. And that is what he spent 13 years in Mecca, and then 10 years in Medina. That is what he spent training the Sahaba on. It's a change of your mindset, it's a change of your heart set, it's a change of your priorities, it's a change of your character. Your entire life changes because you see things differently. You are a different character, different person. You've sold this dunya. You don't want this dunya, you've sold it. But you've bought your akhirah. And by the way, what is selling called in the Quran? Who knows? What is the term for sell? A sale. A sale. Bay'ah. Okay, bay'ah. And so that's what the Sahaba did with the Prophet. They did what's known as bay'ah. Bay'atul Ridwan. You must have heard about it. It's called the Pledge of Allegiance, right? They literally shook their hands, they placed their hands in the hands of the Prophet ﷺ, and that's the deal they made. Ya Rasulullah, we sell dunya and we purchase akhirah. And so we all need to make this bay'ah in our hearts, between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let's move on. Again, this is a command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the Prophet ﷺ in Surah Al-Najm. Fa'a'rid. Turn away. A'rid means turn away. فَأَعْرِضْ عَنْ مَنْ تَوَلَّى عَنْ ذِكْرِنَا وَلَمْ يُرِدْ إِلَّا الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا. Turn away from the one who turned away from us, you turn away from them. This person who has turned away from our remembrance and has and wants nothing but حَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا. Turn away from them. You don't want to be with that kind of people. So my dear brothers and sisters, let's move on. Every single one of us needs to ask ourselves this question, right? This deep, deep question. What is your center? What is my center? Is your world revolving around yourself? My car, my house, my grades, my wife, my kids, my business, my project, my abaya, my shoes. My health? Or is it akhirah centered? And it's again, لَكُمْ دِينُكُمْ وَلِيَ دِينَ. These are two different kinds of lifestyles. And what does most people today, what kind of lifestyle do they choose to live, you think? Dunya centric or akhirah centric? Dunya centric, right? And that's exactly what Shaitan wants. And so we need to wake up. We need to realize how serious this matter is. Because this is at the depth of our teachings of the Quran and the Sunnah, right? Is to shift to the akhira-centric lifestyle. So let's move on and talk about the difference between the two. And by the way, that is one of the deeper meanings of the Qibla, by the way. You know that one of the pillars of Salah is to face the Qibla. Is it a small deal or a big deal? It's a big deal, right? If you're not facing the Qibla in your Salah and you know where it is, then your Salah is not accepted. Now, yes, physically it has its meanings, but spiritually speaking also, Allah is not just interested in your body facing the Qibla. He wants your heart to face Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not this dunya. He wants your heart to face Akhirah, not this dunya. And so next time before you say Allahu Akbar, take a few moments. After you've made wudu, made your intention to make your salah, just for a moment stop and pause and ask yourself, Ya Allah, I'm turning back towards you. I've been busy in dunya. Dunya has distracted me, but now I'm turning back to you. And inshallah, after my salah, I will stay turning to you. Because Allah doesn't want us to turn to Him during Salah. And Allah just doesn't want us to turn to Him during Ramadan and during Umrah and Hajj, right? He wants us to turn to Him for everything. From the moment you wake up to the moment you sleep. He wants you to have your intention turning towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So let's talk a little bit deeper about this. Are you guys okay or getting bored? Sure, the people in the back. I see a couple of people snoring there. Okay, good, let's go. So where is your Qibla? I like to do kind of comparison so you understand the difference, okay? Let's talk about the dunya-centric lifestyle. All they think about is money, money, money. Okay? Why do they study? So they can graduate to make, get a job to make money. Why do they open a business? To make money. Why do they get married? Hopefully that's other person will have money. And then of course, fame. Seeking fame. This is very popular in the young generation. Everyone wants to become influencer. Everyone wants to have followers. So they become famous, so YouTube can pay them, so they become, you know, and with that fame comes satisfaction and all of that, and with fame comes also girls and popularity and... Yes, guys? Yeah. They're all quiet, they're acting innocent now, but... Yeah. And then of course with dunya, the dunya-centric person wants power. Fir'aun was a classic example of this, right? He had enough money, he could have all the women he wanted, he was famous, but was that enough? No, he wanted to go one step ahead, and for him that was power. So with that in his mind, he started oppressing, started doing all sorts of injustice to Bani Israel, and he became the symbol for tyranny and injustice and corruption on earth. And of course, the dunya-focused person, all they care about is social status. This is a big one. What people think of me? What will society think of me? What can I do to be more accepted in society? So this kind of person, actually they're worshipping people. Not worshipping Allah, worshipping people. Before doing anything, they ask themselves, how can I please my boss? How can I please so and so? How can I become more liked with people? And they will do whatever it takes to become more socially acceptable. And by the way, these people who live to please people, are they ever happy?
No.
Because can you please people, by the way? Can you please everybody? Impossible, impossible. You will always have critics, you will always have people who let you down. It's an impossible journey. And then of course desires, the dunya-centric person, all they think about is me, myself and I. I'll do what I want. I'll do whatever makes me happy. I'll do whatever that satisfies me. And so with this kind of attitude, then, you know, for you, the boundaries of Islam are out the window. You can eat what you want, drink what you want, go wherever you want, have what kind of whatever kind of relations you want. You have no laws. And they do that because they have this false sense of freedom. It's my life. I can do whatever I want. Who are you to tell me what to do? They don't like authority. They don't like someone. They don't like rules. They want freedom. But is it true freedom or false?
False.
Yeah. And the dunya-centric person, another quality of that person is that they are always thinking about others, always competing with one another. And Allah even described this in Surah At-Takathur. He said, أَلْهَاكُمُ التَّكَاثُرُ حَتَّى زُرْتُمُ الْمَقَابِرُ. That this urge to compete with one another has distracted you until you have reached your grave. So literally, you spent your entire life in comparison. You go on social media and you compare your looks to someone else. You compare their lifestyle to yours. You compare where you're traveling to where they're traveling to. You compare your car to their car, your house to their house, your wife to their wife, your kids to their kids. And is that healthy? What does that lead to? All sorts of mental health issues today. Depression, anxiety, loss of confidence, loss of self-esteem, greed, envy, hasad. And then people start doing all sorts of crazy things like magic and all sorts of stuff. So you see how poisonous this lifestyle is? Yes? And are still people stuck in this trap? What do you think? Yes. So we need to make a shift, guys, okay? And the shift needs to start with us internally. So let's look at the alternative now. Let's look at the akhirah-centric lifestyle. These people, and when I talk about these people, this kind of character, I want you to think of the Prophet ﷺ, think of the Sahaba, because they're our role models, right? So these are people who they think about how to serve. They're always there, willing to help and serve, because they're servants of Allah. One of the meanings of Abdullah is you are a servant of God. Literally, you are a Khalifa of God on earth. You are a representative of God on earth. So your heart is filled with compassion. You want to contribute. You have a pure heart. Your intention is pure. When you do something, you do it with a pure, sincere intention. There's no hidden agenda. And the akhirah-centric person, all they're concerned about is closeness. Closeness to who? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Al-Qareeb. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's name, Al-Qareeb, the one who is close to you. All they want is to be close to Him. And the more good deeds you do, the more closer you are to Him. The farther away you are from impure things, the closer you become to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Allah is Al-Quddus, He is pure, correct or no? So can you be close to Al-Quddus if you are impure? If you have impure intentions? So that is their motivation. They're self-driven to be pure so that they can be close to the source of all purity. And then their heart is filled with compassion and mercy, just like the Prophet ﷺ. بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ. All they have is love and compassion. Jazakallah khair. Kindness, compassion, love, care. Genuinely for each other. Not just for Muslims, for all of humanity. Even for animals, for environment. Muslims should be at the top of animal rights, environment rights, all of that. And of course, akhirah-centric people are focused on knowledge and wisdom. They are the smartest people on earth. They're intelligent, they're switched on, they know what's going on. And besides worldly knowledge, they have very good knowledge of their deen. They have good knowledge of the Qur'an, good knowledge of the Prophet ﷺ, good knowledge of the stories of the prophets, good knowledge of the hadith. Because knowledge is light. And ignorance is darkness. And so dunya-focused people, they don't have time for Qur'an class or deen class or lecture. They're too busy with all those stuff on the left. But the akhirah people, they make time to study, to learn. They use their time wisely. They don't waste time. Yes, there is time for play, but we weren't created to play. They have extreme time management skills and self-management skills. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has designed a perfect schedule for the believer, you know, waking up for Qiyam al-Layl if you can before Salat al-Fajr, and then you pray your Fajr in Jama'ah, hopefully if you can, and then you stay awake and you do so many productive things. And then of course the Akhirah person, Akhirah-centric person, their heart is content. They have reached the peak of what is called An-Nafs al-Radiyah. An-Nafs al-Mutma'inna al-Radiyah. You know that ayah, right? Surah al-Fajr. Ya ayyatuha an-nafs al-Mutma'inna irji'i ila rabbiki radiyatan mardiyya fadkhuli fi ibadi wadkhuli jannati. An-Nafs al-Mutma'inna, the content nafs, the tranquil nafs. Radiya, mardiya. It is satisfied with whatever Allah has decreed. Mardiya, Allah is satisfied with this nafs also. Because the dunya-centric people, they are never satisfied. Always complaining. Always trying to change destiny. Trying to change their reality, you know? Ingratitude, that's one of the meanings of kufr. Lack of shukr, right? But the akhirah people, they are grateful. They are content, they accept. Islam comes from istislam also. That you surrender to Allah's plan. Because Allah is the most wise. Yes, things will happen that don't make sense at all to you. Things may seem unjust, things may seem cruel, but the believer has this deep contentment that, yes, I don't understand Ya Allah, but I trust that You are all-wise, that You are Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, and You will never do anything that is evil. Yes, on the outside it may seem evil, but in its depth there's always Rahmah, and always there is wisdom in whatever Allah does. So which life would you choose now? Which Qibla would you want to turn to? Dunya or Akhirah? Inshallah, all of us Akhirah, yes? Okay. Let's keep moving on. So this hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, in which he said that the people will soon summon one another to attack you, as people when eating invite others to share their dish. He's talking about the weakness of the Muslims. There will come a time when Muslims will be so weak that it's like people will be having you for lunch and dinner. So someone asked, Ya Rasulullah, will that be because of our small numbers at that time? Is it because we will be very small in number? He replied, no. You will be numerous at that time. But you will be scum and rubbish like that carried down by a torrent. And Allah will take fear of you from the breast of your enemy and last enervation into your hearts. So we will become so insignificant. We will be a lot in number. What's the population of Muslims today? Anyone knows? 1.6 billion? Yeah. Is that small or big? But the Prophet is telling us, and this is one of the predictions he gave, we'll be so insignificant like the foam in the beach. You know when you go on the beach and the waves come and there's foam that's left behind? That will be how insignificant you'll be. You'll be like foam. No substance, just foam. And so someone asked, what is this wahan that will be in our hearts? Because the Prophet said that you will be so weak because of this thing in your heart called wahan. And the Sahaba didn't know what it means. And the Sahaba were very smart and brave. When they didn't understand something, what did they do? They would ask. So there's a lesson for all of us here also. If you don't understand something I'm saying, what do? Raise your hands and ask. Okay? This is a tradition. وَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Ask. This deen encourages us to ask. Don't stay quiet. Don't be afraid. Guys, especially you guys, you have a lot of doubts and a lot of weird ideas being bombarded to you on social media and Instagram and Snapchat. If you don't understand something, ask. And please don't ask ChatGPT. It'll give you the wrong answer probably. Ask someone of knowledge, someone that has you can trust. Okay. So what is Wahan? The Sahaba asked. They didn't know this word, they never heard it. And he replied, حُبِّ الدُّنْيَا وَكَرَاهِيَةِ الْمَوْتِ The love of this dunya and hatred of death. And according to some ulama of spirituality, they say that this wahan, this حُبِّ الدُّنْيَا is the root of all the diseases of the heart. This attachment to this world. Because when you love dunya so much, you don't want to die. In fact, you become scared of death. But for the true believers, are they scared of death?
No.
Why? Because death is it the end? No, it's a transition. It's like your, inshallah, your graduation to the next life, inshallah. And if you're a good believer, then your barzakh life will be also beautiful and, you know, paradise-like. And Day of Judgment will be smooth, easy for you, inshallah. You'll make it very easily across the Sirat. And you'll enter paradise very easily. Even hellfire, you don't have to go, astaghfirullah. You just walk through it, because all of us will have to see it. وَإِن مِنْكُمْ إِلَّا وَارِدُهَا In Surah Maryam, Allah tells us that every single one of us will see hellfire. Just to appreciate what you were saved from, you know. But then eventually we all go to Jannah, inshallah. And then that's real party time. That's when you can relax. This dunya is not for comfort and relaxation. You know, it's a time for struggle. It's a time for work. Amal, amal, amal. Juhd. That's what the real meaning of jihad is. The real mujahid is the one who strives and struggles. And that's why waking up for Fajr, is it easy or difficult? But that's how we get trained. This deen trains us to do difficult things. Is fasting easy or difficult? But we're trained to do difficult things. Is it easy to keep listening to your parents or no? Very difficult, yes? You have to do jihad and keep listening to them. Even though they can sometimes be the most annoying thing on earth. But you still do it. Why? Because there is sabr in that. So, another benefit of dunya versus akhirah. How are we doing on time, by the way? My chai became cold also. See, nobody reminded me that. Unless this is iced coffee, then it's really good. Okay, perfect. Khalas. So, are we okay on time? Can I keep going, hosts? Yes? Okay, inshallah. Because I want to give all of you a full dose before you go to Dubai, inshallah. Yes, inshallah.
Dina is ready, so you can.
Alhamdulillah. Okay. Yeah, inshallah. All right. So for let's move on. Hayat al-Dunya versus Akhirah. Dunya is like this downward spiral, and here we're talking emotionally now. Okay. So it starts off with boredom. You have pessimism. You have frustration. Impatience, overwhelmment, you get disappointed. Remember we said dunya can be disappointing, right? Doubt will be there because you have no knowledge. You get worried because you're always uncertain about the future. You blame others for your problems. You get discouraged. You have anger issues. You're always thinking of revenge, hatred. There's jealousy, there's insecurity, guilt. And there is also fear and grief and depression. And many people, they give up on life. And what do? They want to escape life then. How do they escape life? Easiest way is drugs, alcohol, addiction to shameless things online. You start overeating just to compensate for that depression you have. It's called emotional eating. A lot of people who have money, they go on shopping sprees just to waste money, because or gambling or whatever, right? So that's the hayat al-dunya lifestyle. That dunya, it gets so difficult on them, this adab of dunya. It's so difficult, they have to escape. But the believer, do we escape anything? Huh? Are we required to escape anything? No. We don't. Okay, so let's see the other kind of akhira lifestyle now. The akhira centric believer, his emotional state is a state of contentment. A believer is never bored, guys. Every moment is a moment to reflect and to be grateful for. A believer is hopeful of the future. He has husn al-dhan billah. He has positive expectations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's optimistic. He is positive. They're enthusiastic and passionate about living a akhira-centric life. They're always thinking of how to contribute, how to make this world a better place, how to spread peace, how to help people with problems. You're always there to solve problems. That's one of the meanings of amal salih, by the way. In the Quran, whenever Allah talks about iman, ya alladhina amanu wa amilu salihat, it always goes together. Yes or no? Alladhina amanu wa amilu salihat. What does amilu salihat mean? Yeah, righteous deeds is, I don't understand what that means. Give me simple English. Deeds to fix things that are not working. Saluha in the Arabic language means to fix something that's not working. To solve problems. So believers solve problems. I want you to think of it that way. Alladhina amanu wa amilu salihat. Those who believe fix problems. We're there to solve the problems of humanity. That's why we're the Khalifa. Okay? We're not passive. We are active. We're engaged with society. And of course, this engagement, this amal salih, because you're doing it for Allah's sake, then what do you get in return? You get joy, you get gratitude, you get the sense of Allah's appreciation for you. And that is the nafs al-mutma'inna and radiya and mardiya. And Allah says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا. Right? This is the contrast between the two types of people. The one who lives a dunya life, they will be pulled down so badly that they will have to escape it artificially. As for the akhira focused people, they are always thriving. Now, the dunya centric person, they also call this narcissism. Yes? Okay? What are they doing? They're always thinking of themselves. They have this sense of self-importance. I am very important. They are always preoccupied with power, beauty, and success. Again, very, very just external, you know? Very materialistic. They feel entitled also. They have this false sense of entitlement. Whereas the abd, do we feel entitled? What did we do to come on this earth? Did we do anything to deserve this life? Everything is a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for us. And let me share with you an example that I share with my kids to make this idea clear about entitlement. Think of Allah as the king of all kings. He is, right? He is al-malik. Yes or no?
Yes.
So if he's al-malik, he's also al-malik. In the Fatiha, some people read it as Maliki Yawmiddin. Some people recite it Maliki Yawmiddin. Both are correct. One means owner, the other means king. And so when Allah is the king and the owner of everything, what do we own? What do we own? Nothing. That's why when you leave this world, what do you take with you in the grave? Nothing. Only your good deeds will go with you. That is the reality. So do we have any right to complain when something is taken away from us? Because it was never ours to begin with. That's why when someone dies, what do we say? Inna lillah wa inna ilayhi raji'un. We belong to Allah and we will return to Him. You see how the believer is always content, even with loss? Because we realize nothing is ours to begin with. Everything is a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the dunya-centric person, they can only be around people who are important and special. They always think of their benefit, what's in it for me. And they're very exploitative for their own gain and arrogance, and they always think that they're better than others. They always want to be right. They always want to be noticed, to be appreciated. And of course, they lack empathy and they must be admired, otherwise they're depressed. Because they see their self-worth from people. They seek their self-worth from others. Whereas the believer, where do we seek our self-worth from? From who? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? Al-Aziz, the one who honors us. If Allah is saying, I am Al-Aziz to us, then do we need anybody else to honor us? No. So you see how powerful it is? When Allah tells you that, I have honored you. وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمْ I have honored all of the children of Adam. Do we need anyone to honor us in this world? So, akhira-focused lifestyle gives you a lot of power, my dear brothers and sisters. It makes you very confident. Because with Allah, you are unstoppable. You are undefeatable. Because your source of power is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you have Allah by your side, you have power and strength. Without Allah, you have nothing. The dunya people, they don't have Allah, so that's why they're weak. That's why they need medicine, they need alcohol, they need drugs, because they're weak. They need to escape. But believers are strong. They face their challenges, they face this life, and they struggle and strive because they are working for who? For themselves? For who? For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah, we are all employed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What's our salary? Jannah is your, inshallah, your reward. Do you get any monthly salary? Huh? Yeah, that peace in your heart, that contentment in your heart, that's your, it's not a monthly salary. You get it, alhamdulillah, every moment, yes? Every moment you get that. And that's it. It's not worldly. It's not external. You know, the prophets, all of them, if you read their stories, they all had ups and downs and struggles and suffering in their life, right? But inside their heart, do you think they were happy inside, deep down inside their heart? Of course. Because they had Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in their heart. That is what it means to be akhira-centric. So your intention is pure. And because you're God-fearing, you become fearless of His creation. This is a very important point. When you become God-fearing, then you become fearless of His creation. That is peak confidence, guys. Akhira-centric people have compassion and mercy. They have conviction and yaqeen. That whatever they do, they will see the fruits of it. Is it guaranteed that you will see the fruits of your work in this world? No guarantees. We are not attached to result in this world. But do you have yaqeen that you will see it one day? 100% inshallah. That's why you have contentment, you accept Allah's decree or qadr as written by Allah and you accept it. And you're grateful for it. You don't compare yourself to others. You are self-driven, you're motivated, and you have that perseverance. You keep going. There is no finishing line for the Muslim. Right? Until your last breath, you keep going, going, going. It's like a long distance marathon run. Is it tiring? Yes? Is it difficult? Yes? Is it painful? Yes, sometimes. Can it be lonely? Yes. But what's your motivation? Akhirah. It's Allah, it's love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and your yaqeen that this is your role. You've accepted this role. And of course, the akhira-centric person, their heart is filled with ihsan, with love, with perfection in their character. I want to share with you a small example of how dunya is so short. Okay? And this is in relation to the salah, the position of the salah. So let's take an example of a two rak'ah salah, right? Salat al-Fajr. Next time you pray, I want you to imagine this and try to bring this in your salah. It will help you get khushu' in your salah. So one of the symbols of standing is the standing of Adam alayhi salam when he was first created in front of the angels. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked the angels to do sajda and Everyone, all the angels is sajda except for Iblis. And of course, we all know the story of how Adam and Hawa, then they ate from the tree, right? And then what happened? Was it a mistake?
Yes.
So what did they do? They asked for forgiveness. The ruku' now is, after standing, what do? Ruku', right? So the ruku' is them saying, sorry. رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا وَإِنْ لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا لَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. And Allah forgives them. صح ولا لا? Yes or no?
Yes.
We raise back straight. رَبَّنَا لَكَ الْحَمْدُ. And then Allah told them, اِهْبِطُوا. Come down to earth, right? So now we fall into sajda to come down to earth. And in that position now we are like this newborn baby. You know the sujood? It's like this baby in the womb of its mother. And then you're sitting up straight as you coming into life, coming into this world, being a newborn. And then you're next, and then what do we do? Another sajda, right? You're going back into earth again. And that is your grave. That is your death. You see how short life was? Life was just that small moment. How long does it take to get back up from your ruku' and then go back into ruku'? How many seconds is that? Maybe 5 seconds, right? That's how short life was. And then you stand back up again. That is Yawm al-Qiyamah. Then of course you have the ruku', the hisab and the kitab, and then you go back into sujood, and then you're back into Jannah, inshallah, at the end. So what I wanted to describe to you was the shortness of life in that example. Again, this is just a reflection of how salah can have multiple meanings and depths of how short life is. Some misconceptions that we want to clarify before we end. Having dunya outside your heart and only akhirah in your heart doesn't mean that you withdraw from the dunya. Because that is not what I want you all to walk away with. I don't want you to walk outside and say, Brother Fahad said, khalas, I have to quit my job, I have to quit school, we have to go to the masjid and just read Quran and pray and make dua and dhikr all day because we want akhirah in our hearts and dunya is for the kuffar. Is that what I said? No. So please, we need to clarify this. We are saying is have dunya in your hands, which means that you have to excel in whatever you do. Be the best student, get the best grades. Excel in your jobs, in your business, become a billionaire. Be the best wife you can be. Be the best husband you can be. Be the best neighbor you can be in your society. If you're in politics, be the best politician and do good for people. Whatever capacity Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed you in, do ihsan in it. Perfect your role. In sports, that's one of my motivations. Is try to win, to be a good, you know, ambassador of sports even. Why not? Be good in your health, be good in your art, be good in your editing or whatever skill you have that Allah has gifted you. Excel in it. So it's not about withdrawal. But the difference is, when you're doing this ihsan, your intention is what? It's not the money, it's not the fame, it's not the power, it's not arrogance. What's your intention? One thing only, simple. What is it? Allah's pleasure. Simple. Everything you do for Allah's sake. You cook good food for Allah's sake. You do well in your business for Allah's sake. You give your customers a good product or the best product and the best service and the best quality for Allah's sake. You do well in your job for Allah's sake. You study well for Allah's sake. Everything is for Allah's sake. So that's what's meant by not having dunya in your heart and having akhirah in your heart. And another misconception is that there is no joy in life when you become akhirah focused. Your life is very depressing, it's all suffering. But what did we just say? Can you still be joyful inside while living an akhirah focused lifestyle? Yes, that's true joy. That's real joy actually. Like when they talk about having joy in the club or with girls and drinking, that's not real joy. That's temporary. That's fake happiness. Don't get deceived by that. And in Surah An-Nahl, Allah tells us the example of the one who من عمل صالحا من ذكر أو أنثى من ذكر أو أنثى. Whoever does this acts of fixing things and amal salih, whether they're male or female, وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ, and they have true belief. What does Allah say? فَلَنُحْيِيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبًا. We will surely give them a life that is pure. It is good. And then even in the next life, وَلَنَجْزِيَنَّهُمْ أَجْرًا بِأَحْسَنِ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. And we will reward them for the best of what they did. So this is also a reality of the believers, that they have حَيَاةً طَيِّبًا. Even in this dunya, you can have a beautiful life. But that beauty is in your heart. It's internal. It's the peace. It's the contentment. Because some things are out of our control, like we said. And so striking the balance, like we said, we will come to this ayah. رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَا وَفِي الْآخَرَةِ حَسَنَا وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. The best way to understand this is the example of the farmer. And you know, my teacher would always say this. He would say, الدُّنْيَا مَزْرَعَةُ الْآخِرَةِ. That this dunya is the farming ground of the akhirah. Which means you are farming this dunya, but where do the fruits come? In akhirah, you won't see it in this world. And so, رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً. The hasan of the dunya is for you to have that intention to farm and to do good, and to for Allah to choose you to do good on earth. And then in akhirah, hasana is the fruits of this labor. That is the more accurate understanding of having only akhirah in your heart and not a mix of dunya and akhirah. Because that can get you into all sorts of like hidden shirks, guys. When we have Allah, but we also have people pleasing in our heart, and we have a little bit of shahawat in our heart, we have love of money in our heart also, we have, then that's not pure, that's not sincere, that's not ikhlas. Okay? Again, sorry? Mm-hmm. So yeah, these are your basic needs and necessities that you need to fulfill: family, food, taking care of your health, providing for your children, providing for your family, getting married, engaging in this life in its minimal form, without excessiveness. Because a lot of people would, like we said, with the misconception, they would withdraw. Right? Completely. Yeah. Because Allah has a naseeb for you, and so He wants you to take that. So the akhirah lifestyle, in terms of effort, there is flow in it. There is focus on others. There is joy that's constant, and there is high energy. Whereas the dunya focus, there's a lot of stress. You're self-centered. The joy is temporary, and the energy is always low. Shall we move on, guys? Practical steps. So what can we do to shift our qibla from dunya to akhirah? Let's make some practical steps now. Number one is good company. We read in Surah Al-Kahf, وَاصْبِرْ نَفْسَكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ بِالْغَدَاتِ وَالْعَشِيِّ. Be patient with those who remember and call upon their Lord in the mornings and the evenings. يُرِيدُونَ وَجْهَهُ. Notice, what do they want? Allah's pleasure. Their qibla is Allah. Allah's pleasure only. وَلَا تَعْدُ عَيْنَاكَ عَنْهُمْ تُرِيدُ زِينَةَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. Don't turn away from them wanting the beauty of this life. And don't وَلَا تُطِعْ مَنْ أَغْفَلْنَا قَلْبَهُ عَنْ ذِكْرِنَا. Don't obey the one whose heart has been covered from my remembrance, and the one who follows his desires. وَكَانَ أَمْرُهُ فُرُطًا. So good company, in a nutshell, is what this ayah is talking about. Be around people who remind you of akhirah, people who remind you about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, people who talk about these things. Are they rare these days? Yes. So you have to find them. If you can't find them in reality, then make virtual friends, right? Follow the right people. Make sure you're listening to good clips, follow the right channels, so that, you know, the algorithm of Google is, and Instagram and all these social media sites, in a way, they're good. Because if you are someone who's searching, all your search terms are about Allah and Quran and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, guess what you're going to get more of? More of the same. Is that good or bad? Yeah. So let's not blame Google for giving us the wrong results. Right? It really depends on what kind of person you are and what kind of search history you have. OK? Okay, so for parents, you want to know what your kids are doing, check their search history. Now, all the guys will go at night and they will clear their search history, delete, cache, everything, huh? Sorry, guys, I just messed up things for you. Do you forgive me? Yes? So another, the last tool I will share with you for tonight is dhikr. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ ذِكْرًا كَثِيرًا. And the highlight here is ذِكْرًا كَثِيرًا. Why? Because little ذِكْر will do what? It won't really help, right? Because the distractions are so much, you need a lot of remembrance. Okay? Not just little ذِكْر, ذِكْرًا كَثِيرًا. And this concept is mentioned in multiple places. I want to share with you one video, because many people started sleeping, I know. I want to share one video to wake everyone up. It's fine, inshallah. I think everyone can hear. If we're all silent, we can all hear. You want to keep it there? Okay. Okay, watch this video. It's titled, Why Positive Thinking Doesn't Work, okay?
Big problem with trying to think positive, and I'm going to show you what it is. See, this is clean water, and this represents how you're born. Perfect, no flaws, a clean slate. But then life happens. We're told how we have to fit in. We're told what we're supposed to do, what's not acceptable, what society wants. Some people get told that they're stupid. They get told that they're fat. They get told that they're not enough. We have some failed relationships. We go on Instagram and we compare ourselves with other people. We see the advertisements and realize that we're not as good as the photoshopped photos. And what happens? We become negative and we start having negative self-talk. So not only is there negativity outside of you, but the negative self-talk is now negativity inside of you. Life happens. It's impossible to go through life getting some scars. But then we hear that we should think positive. And that's like taking a little bit of clean water and pouring it in. It makes it a little bit more clear, but it doesn't make the negativity go away. And at this point is where most people give up. They say that positive thinking doesn't work. Well, if you go in it this way, of course it doesn't work. But then there's some people that try a little bit more positive thinking. And they take more water, and they pour it in. And it becomes a little bit more clear, and a little bit more clear, but it's still dirty. But then you have to realize that this is how you have to be. You have to search for the positive things in your life. You have to find the things to be grateful for, the things to be happy about. You have to be intentional about creating positive relationships and an environment in your life that's positive. Because thinking positive isn't something that you do
So what did you think of the video? Nice, right? So why did I bring it up here? And what's the connection between the video and dhikr? Because he's talking about positive thinking. And he talked about the theory, right? But practically, he didn't give any solution. But for us, dhikr is the solution. When we do constant dhikr of Allah, dhikran kathira, and make it a daily habit in our life, that is what's going to happen, not to your mind, but to your heart. There is a lot of barakah, and there are a lot of benefits of just doing dhikr, and making it a habit in your life. So, unfortunately, and this is one area of my specialties, guys. This is, yani, I've been studying this thing called meditation. I'm sure you've heard about meditation for a long time. I've studied how the West has done it, how the East has done it. And I believe that we as Muslims can learn a lot from some of the benefits of such practices, and if, especially if we combine them with dhikr. A lot of people might think, oh, Brother Fahad, this is bid'ah, astaghfirullah, no, we don't need, we have our own tradition. But let's be honest, the age of distraction we live in, we need such tools. And we're not saying it's a new ibadah that we're coming up with, astaghfirullah. We're just saying these are tools that you can add to enhance your experience of doing dhikr, to enhance your khushu' and salah, to enhance your reading of the Qur'an, to enhance your experience of dua. And this is something that it's tried and tested, my dear brothers and sisters. You know, me and my students, we've been doing this for a long, long time now. We all have seen benefits in this. So I wanted to share with you some of the techniques that we use. And I want to invite you all to also try it out. Would you be interested to try it out? It'll take like 2-3 minutes only, okay? Because I know the host is getting hungry. No? Okay. I'm hungry though. Yes, yeah, alhamdulillah. No, I'm just kidding. Okay. So, just a little bit, this is the last portion, guys. And it is actually the most important part of the talk today. So if you've been sleeping, now you can wake up, inshallah. Alright? So, number one, to benefit from real dhikr and kathira, we have to learn how to be present. When you are present, that means your mind is not wandering about the future or the past. All the mind does, it goes past, future, past, future. But when you engage the heart, then you become present, okay? So I'll teach you how to do this, inshallah, in a second. But that's number one, presence. And number two is focus. You saw in the video how that water hose was focused? It was focused with pressure for a long, 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 long time. Did it take a long time for the dust to be cleared? Yes. So is that change going to happen in one moment? So consistency. اذكروا الله ذكرا كثيرا. How much does Allah repeat? اذكروا الله, اذكروا الله, اذكروا الله. So even when I teach you this practice, don't come to me after 1 week and say, Brother Fahad, I'm still having anxiety, I'm still having depression. No, come back to me after 1 year. After 6 months. Guaranteed, I'm telling you, you will have a shift in your life, inshallah. You will see guaranteed. And this is not because of me, this is because of the power of the dhikr of Allah. Allah didn't say it just like that. There is benefit in it. And wallahi, you don't need to go see any therapist. Save your money. Just do this. And it requires focus, it requires engaging the heart and its meanings. And this is the difficult part. I want you to give it at least 15 to 20 minutes every day. Because that is what dhikr and kathira means. Because of the amount of negativity outside in the world, if you do dhikr for just 2 minutes, is that going to compensate for all the distraction in the world? No. So we need 15 to 20 minutes of focus. And again, I don't expect you to get there today, but that should be your goal. Inshallah, within 1 month, 2 months, you increase the repetition to that level. So engaging the heart, guys. This is where we do dhikr from. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبِ. That verily with the remembrance of Allah do the hearts find tranquility and patience. And we're going to engage with the meanings and with the feelings. Because for a lot of us, we do dhikr a lot. MashaAllah, you do adhkar sabah al-masa and you know, all the adhkar after salah, but it's all just with the tongue, which is good. But we need to advance it to adding meanings and adding feelings and being present and being focused. That is where you truly benefit from this. And repetition, extremely important. Why? Because human beings, our subconscious mind learns through repetition. That's why in the video previously, he repeatedly put the pressure consistently for a long, long, long time. That repetition, as you increase the numbers and repeat daily, 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 your wiring of your brain will change. It's called the neuroplasticity of your brain. Literally, the old patterns of your thoughts will start changing to new patterns that will get you close to Allah, that will make you think positive, that will make you become more grateful, that will become make you build your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And of course, we need to make it a habit. Okay? So are we ready for the exercise, all of you? I'm going to teach you how to do this, and then your homework for the rest of your life is to apply this, inshallah. Now I want you to go ahead. By the way, we're going to do four dhikrs. I'm going to teach you the four dhikrs to do. The first one is Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakeel. The second one is Astaghfirullah al-Azim. The third one is La ilaha illallah al-Malik al-Haqq al-Mubin. And the last one is Salawat on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Alright, so I want you to, inshallah, go ahead and close your eyes, all of you, inshallah. And I want you to notice your breath as you inhale and exhale from the nose. Calm down, loosen up your shoulders. Pay attention to your breath. And I want you to breathe in and out from your nose. Notice the air as it goes in and out through your nose as you inhale and exhale. This exercise will just help you become more present, to bring your focus to your breath, away from the thoughts. Notice how the air is slightly cold as you inhale and slightly warm as you exhale. Very good. Now, I want you to imagine that this cold air that you're inhaling is actually this brilliant white light that is going all the way into your heart and lighting up your heart. So you're inhaling cool light that lights up your heart. And the exhale is this dark smoke that's leaving your heart out through your nose. So you're inhaling cool light, exhaling dark smoke. Very good. I want you to stop the visualization now and just pay attention to your heart. Keep your eyes closed. And now we're going to start the first dhikr, Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakeel. I don't want you to say it out loud, just deep within your heart silently. You don't need to move your lips, you don't need to make any sounds. Just from the depths of your heart. Hasbunallah means God is all we need. Wa ni'mal wakeel, what an excellent guardian is He. I want you to pay attention to that meaning and feel that Allah is enough for you. And that you can trust Him for everything in your life. God is all you need. When you have Allah, you have everything. And you can entrust Him for everything in your life. All the challenges, all the difficulties, all the goals that you have. You have full trust that Allah will help you and take care of you. Notice how your heart is starting to soften now and settle with this meaning. Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakeel. Keep repeating it silently for at least 10 times, feeling the meaning from the depths of your heart. Good, now let's move on to Astaghfirullah al-Azim. And Istighfar is you asking Allah for forgiveness in all His glory. And Istighfar is like a spiritual shower. Just like we take a physical shower every day to cleanse our bodies, think of Istighfar When you say Astaghfirullah al-Azim, your heart is being showered. It's being purified, it's being cleansed. And it's very important to not to feel too guilty about it. You made a mistake, khalas, we are all imperfect, but just the fact that you're doing istighfar means you're turning back to Allah, and Allah is accepting your istighfar. So there is a sense of relief and joy. Allah loves you, and He's accepting you. So this excessive guilt is unnecessary. Just have husn al-dhan. Have good assumption about Allah. That He is, you're getting purified and you're getting closer to Him. Astaghfirullah al-Azim. You repeat this 10 times with that feeling and the meaning. Next, we move on to La ilaha illallah al-Malik al-Haqq al-Mubin. There is no God worthy of worship except Allah, the King, the real, and the manifestly apparent. Here I want you to feel like you are, you know, experiencing Allah's majesty. That He is the King, the truth. What would it feel like to stand in front of Him with all His majesty and glory? This one should feel a bit heavy. You should feel your humility, your insignificance. The fact that you're His slave, His servant. And He is the master, He is the authority, and you're the obedient slave. The fact that He is the King, He owns everything, you own nothing. You are not entitled to anything. Yet this loving King takes care of you and loves you and honors you. La ilaha illallah al-Malik al-Haqq al-Mubin. And then lastly, Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. I want you to feel now your love for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The best of all humanity, our guide, our teacher. And Allah tells us in the Quran that إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ. That Allah and the angels do salawat on the Prophet. And He asks us also, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. O you who believe, make salawat on the Prophet. Send your peace and blessings and du'as to him. And the Prophet has told us that every time we send salawats to him, Allah sends salawat to us. And in another place, Allah tells us that هو الذي يصلي عليكم وملائكته ليخرجكم من الظلمات إلى النور. That Allah sends His peace and blessings upon us to take us out from darkness into light. So imagine and feel that with every salah that you send on the Prophet ﷺ, Allah is taking you out of the darknesses into the light. And feel your love for the Prophet ﷺ. Be grateful for your belongingness to his ummah. He was the best of all creation. He was rahmatan lil alameen. He was a mercy for humanity. And make the intention that you want your character to be like him. And try to remember the moment when you will meet him on the gates of paradise. When he will be waiting for you to feed you from his blessed hands, from the spring of Jannah, after which you will never be thirsty again. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. All right, we can all, inshallah, open our eyes and barakallahu feekum, subhanakallahu bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa ant, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and jazakumullah khair. Sorry for taking longer than expected, but inshallah it was of benefit for all of you. Barakallahu feekum. Yeah, if anyone has barakallahu.
Do you have any...